WNTN, home of Greenian Echoes, the longest running Greek American program in the country.
Once again, good morning, kalimera, olimera, ke kathe mera, and happy Veterans Day. It is the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of the calendar year 2021. And if we date ourselves back to 1918, 103 years ago, it was the end of World War I, the beginning of the momentum of Veterans Day. And we are very pleased and proud this morning to have joining us on the telephone from Chicago, Illinois, Mr. John P. Calamo, Sr. John, of course, is a retired United States Air Force major and a proud Greek American. And we are excited to have him join us this morning, not only about his Air Force career, but about his devotion to his Greek ancestry and his story. So with no further delays, I do believe I have John on the telephone. Mr. Calamos, a great big good morning, kalimera, from our listening audience here in Boston, and thanks for joining us on this special day. How are you? Tikanis, kala.
Kala, Ted. Great to be on with you. Thank you so much.
Well, it's our pleasure. You know, we wanted to have on Veterans Day, and we usually do have a veteran in our community. Last week, 2 weeks ago, I think, we had Peter Vergados, who was honored to receive the Calamos Award at the Orchid Day presentation in Washington, D.C. And when he ever mentioned that he and you had so much in common, both retired from our United States Air Force, both retiring as majors, we thought it would be great to get in contact with you. So we made a couple of phone calls, and we really want to thank, of course, all that were involved in making this happen. Carla, very good and cordial in getting us to hook up. So welcome, kalimera.
Kalimera, thank you.
John, we always like to get to know our guests a little bit from the very, very beginning. As I read some of the information, your story is so similar to so many of ours. Your father, a Greek immigrant, he and your mother didn't have the benefit of any advanced formal education. But what was important to them, that they were absolutely committed to creating a better life for their family, which ultimately allowed you to pursue your American dream. And they also instilled the importance of community and service. It looks here that you were the first of your family to go to college. It says you attended Illinois Tech and on a whim and decided to join the Air Force ROTC program. After that, you served as a combat pilot during Vietnam War and so much more. So I'll let the story come from you, starting from your younger days with your family working and the impact of your heritage and the impact of your service as a veteran and what's it meant to you. So I'm going to give it all to you.
Yes, well, I grew up in a grocery store in the west side of Chicago. As you mentioned, my parents had the store, and they were working 7 days a week, hard workers all the time. And my mother was really encouraging me to, get educated and do that. So, that working attitude, was really, really helpful to me over the years. So someone's working 7 days a week and really trying to take care of the family as much as they were, that was very helpful to me growing up.
Yeah. What were your interests as a younger Greek American, through your high school years? What were your interests? Did you always have a little bit of a taste of aeronautics? Were you an athlete? What was it that captivated you as a young man?
Growing up in high school, I didn't even think about going to college at the point. And, one summer I got offered a job at Motorola of putting in, TV cubes and that. And, after that summer, I said, gee whiz, I don't want to do this the rest of my life. I better go to school. So that kind of changed my mind. And that's when I started to go to college. And so that was very, just really trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I didn't have, in my mind to fly airplanes or anything else. But going to college was a very good experience for me. Back then, I started at the University of Illinois, and going to University of Illinois back then, it was required that you join ROTC for 2 years.
Really? Really?
And so I joined Air Force ROTC, just mm-hmm. saying, gee, I like airplanes, even though I wasn't flying airplanes or anything at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I transferred up to IIT, Illinois Tech,
mm-hmm.
In my senior year, you know, I'm trying to figure out what should I do, what's going on, and that type of thing. I decided to go into ROTC there. And then when I graduated in 1963, I got my, I was commissioned as a second lieutenant then. So it was kind of a confusing, you know, I changed my major 3 times
mm-hmm.
Through college. But I worked my way through college. You know, my mother had another business that I ran for her, and that helped me pay for my college tuition.
Today's day and age, that doesn't seem to happen as much. You know, you can work all you want, but footing the bill of a college tuition sometimes is quite difficult, as I'm sure you're well aware of.
Yeah.
I want to know what it was like. You know, we'll discuss a little bit about the impact of your Hellenic heritage in a bit, but I'm curious, what's it like to be 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, and all of a sudden, you know, you're in the Air Force? Active duty, pilot training, missions, you know, what was going through your head?
Yeah, well, you know, I thought, gee, it'd be, I'd like to fly an airplane, although I've only been in one commercial airplane at the time, and actually didn't feel so good being in the airplane, and so I was wondering what I was going to do, and so when I got my orders to go to pilot training out in Texas, Webb Air Force Base in Big Spring, Texas. You know, I really, looking back on that year, I started in pilot training and, you know, hardly knew anything about airplanes. 1 year later, I'm flying supersonic jets in formation. And to talk about having to be focused
mm-hmm.
all the time, I learned a lot about that. That was really, I looking back on that, that 1 year to get my wings,
mm-hmm.
It was very, very, very fulfilling for me to be able to accomplish that. We started with, I think, 66 in our class and only graduated 30 or 32. So getting through that and focusing was really important to me. And having my mother and father come down to see me get my wings, they were very proud of me doing that, and that was also very inspirational to me at the time. So those moments were very, very special to me.
Yeah. I want to focus on that word focus for a second, John. With obviously training and a lot of training to fly, but was there an emphasis, what kind of focus training did they give you?
Well, you know, you had to make sure you did your, you know, your work and focus on different things. You didn't want to, you know, do the wrong thing, press the wrong switch, go into the wrong clouds and everything else. So you had to really kind of be completely focused on all these different areas.
Mm-hmm.
So from that point of view, it was very important. You know, I had good instructors there, you know, I read a couple books on flying that were really helpful. So it was really total focus on that to get from, you know, the small propeller airplane to jets and then supersonic jets. That was really, and, you know, thinking about that over the years, that kind of focus helped me in how I, when I got into business, it was the same thing. How do we focus and do this right and you know, make sure we're considering all the details. Yeah,
it's an amazing story. Combining your veterans experience with your Greek heritage, let's focus a little bit about that. I don't think it's any mystery to the majority of our listening audience that you are, you know, a very successful business person. You're one of the biggest names on the national scene to us Greek Americans. You're involved in so many organizations. You give back. You know, as the son of Greek immigrants, you know, you're active chair of the board of directors of the National Hellenic Museum. You're involved in the NHS, and we've got a lot of local Boston roots here with NHS, Leadership 100, the Hellenic Initiative, all as a reflection of your Greek heritage. Tell us a little bit about that, in your own words, the effect that it had combined with your veteran service that made you the man you are today.
Yeah, I think it was really important. You know, growing up, my parents sent me to church every week and everything else. And then once I got in college, you know, I kind of forgot about all that. Mm-hmm. But once I was in Vietnam, you know, I started thinking back on my faith and how important that was to me. And I prayed every day and that type of thing. So it really, really got me involved back into my faith. And, you know, there's the old saying, there are no atheists in the foxhole.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really helped me, remind me of how important my faith was. You know, I'm now an archon, and I support our faith very, very much. So part of that Greek heritage is really important. And even in college, Ted, I learned, I started, you know, what should I be, what should I do, engineering, this type of thing. I started, had some philosophy classes and started reading Greek philosophy. And one of the things that really occurred to me, I think, was Socrates that said, you know, hey, first you're a student, then you're a soldier,
mm-hmm.
then you're a businessman, then you're a statesman. And statesman to me means giving back, philanthropy. So, you know, reading that really impacted me. I studied a lot of philosophy over the years and studied the history of my Greek heritage, studied the history of Western civilization and all that. It is really important. It really kind of motivated me, you know, and I think looking back on that, and I tell kids I see today at the museum or wherever, you don't know where you're going unless you know where you came from. And that was very important to me growing up. And the other important factor in all of that came later on when my mother passed away and my father came from Greece and came here in 1914, had never been back to Greece. And he was in his 80s. And I took him back to Greece. And we went to his village, and I met the people in the village and saw where all these soldiers had died during World War II and everything else,
yeah.
and all that. And that really inspired me to say how important our heritage was. And that was a very, very instrumental trip for me.
Yeah. Ikatagoyisu, what part of Greece were your parents from?
It's a little village right side of, in the Peloponnese, right side of Tripoli, Vouvera.
Yeah. I've never been, but I'm sure next time I'm in the area and I drive by, I'll recognize it. I wrote down a few things, and I really like those four words that you put together. Student, soldier, businessman, statesman. Resonated with me very
yeah.
well. Very nice, yeah. I want to focus a little bit on faith. Not only our Orthodox faith, but the faith that you and thousands of, shall we say, you know, there are 17 million United States veterans as of today. I heard that number on the radio this morning. Combined, you know, of all different shapes, colors, sizes, you know, you mentioned you prayed every single day for your own, you know, you were involved in combat, you were involved in, you're in Vietnam War. How readily visible was faith amongst the troops?
You know, I didn't talk to them one-on-one, so it's really hard. It was really, for me, very important, you know, in really making sure I was doing the right thing, and feeling, you know, good about what I was doing, whether it was when I was ready to shoot, you know, or whatever. having a right faith is really important to us in the military. And you know, and I remember I had one mission where I lost control of the airplane, and I it was in the clouds and coming down, and geez, it was a good reminder that my faith came up, and you know, I survived that well. And so we didn't talk about that a lot. We didn't have a church we went to, so it was much more personal.
Yeah, you know, everybody has their own, you know, version of that, and it kept you, you know, it kept you safe. It kept you, you know,
That's right.
You away from, you know. Said, I'm reading here, and I'm very impressed with, you know, the impact of your Greek heritage. It said, I served as a combat pilot during the Vietnam War, where I flew hundreds of missions as a forward air controller. We were there to support the ground troops by controlling fighters to help them in a time of need. During my Vietnam tour, I was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross for a particularly harrowing mission. Overall, you spent 5 years on active duty as 12 years in the reserves flying B-52s and jet fighters. That's like, you know, eating an apple and eating a watermelon. Leaving the service as a major, you know, you learned your lessons of leadership, camaraderie, risk management, and all very valuable to as you grew your business. So, bravo. Tell us a little bit about your business, because we've heard about Calamos Investments. You know, what was it that set you apart from perhaps some of the other in your industry, and how you, you know, made it successful and took the effort to give back? I know you give a lot back.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, actually, after my Vietnam tour, I went back to flying B-52s, and we did airborne alert, which means we were flying 26-hour missions with nuclear weapons aboard, you know, and this was our alert. And then we'd be on alert in the sort of a, not a foxhole, but an area where in case they rang the klaxon, we'd have to take off in minutes. And in case they didn't, the other guys would be watching TV and doing that. And I was actually got interested in the markets. I started studying the markets there, read a couple books on that. And when I got out of the Air Force in 1970, I started, became interested in the market and started doing convertible bonds was really my focus. And the reason for that was I looked at them as a way to manage risk. And a lot of questions I would get is, gee, why did you go from flying airplanes to getting in the market? I said, it's the same thing. You better do your homework before you take off. And man, it's all about managing risk. So that was the parallel that I saw. Gee, how do I manage risk? And in the 70s, when I got in the market, the first thing happened, the market went down. I think 40%, you know, in 3 or 4 years. And I was using those strategies that I had studied about, you know, convertible bonds to manage that risk. And it came out very well. And then by 1977, using that philosophy and background, I started my own company in 1977 and became a pioneer in the convertible bond area. Wrote a couple books on convertible bonds, and in 1985 set up the first open-end mutual fund on convertibles, and you know, that became a major factor for the company over the years. And we have other strategies, but all our strategies have been all about how do we manage risk, how do we manage risk, and how do we do well for our clients. So that was some of the background in that.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about your involvement in some of the Greek organizations? Let's start off with the National Hellenic Museum in Chicago. I don't think it's any secret that you are one of the major underwriters of this beautiful, beautiful museum. Tell us a little bit about it and its purpose.
Yeah, the National Hellenic Museum was really started back years ago when I was not involved by any Athens. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, really a great man about how do we talk about our heritage and doing that. And so I got involved because I feel that our heritage is very important today, and you know, part of our mission at the National Hellenic Museum is to really make sure we're teaching the next generation about how important our heritage was. As I said earlier, I learned so much about, you know, Greek philosophy and others and the whole, you know, beginning of Western civilization and all that. I think that was very, very important for me, motivating me. And I thought, gee, through the Hellenic Museum, National Hellenic Museum, hopefully we can kind of encourage our future generations about how to be motivated by that. And I think it's really important today because it seems like there, people are forgetting about that and they're not learning that. So we're trying to, you know, bring that education of our heritage. You know, might have said this earlier, you don't know where you're going unless you know where you came from. And, you know, in philosophy in college was about, you don't go to college to learn what to think. You go to college to learn how to think. and that's where philosophy came in for me. It wasn't just learning about philosophy, learning about history. And that's how I got interested in the markets, because it's all about history is reflected in the markets. Mm-hmm. What's going on today is the market is sort of the pulse mm-hmm. of everything going on in the world. So mm-hmm. that's kind of the thing that really encouraged me. And in the National Hellenic Museum, you know, several things. We want to preserve that history. And it's right in Greektown in Chicago, which has a very unique history itself. So, you know, we're working hard to do that.
You know, one story that I'll never forget. The first time I went to Greece, I think I was 12 years old with my parents, my mother, my father, and we, you know, went to Greece, went to Athens, went to Thessaloniki. And I remember asking questions, and there was a Greek-American that I had run into, somebody that my father knew from Boston, but nonetheless, he said, oh, you're in Thessaloniki. He goes, you went to Athens? I said, yes. He goes, you're in Thessaloniki. He goes, do you know what the number three most heavily populated Greek city is? And I said, I don't know. He goes, Chicago, Illinois. Tell us a little bit about Chicago. We're Bostonians. Yeah. Chicago is...
Let me you're reminding me of the story when I took my father back to Greece.
Yeah.
And when I was growing up in Chicago here, and we'd go out to Lake Michigan and see that, and my father would take us out to North Avenue Beach in Lake Michigan. Oh, look at how beautiful the water is. You know what he would say? You should see the water in Greece.
That's it.
And everywhere we went, you should see the what's going on in Greece. Yeah. You know, until my brother and sister and I, we got sick of hearing about this. Oh, my God, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So I take my father back to Greece, as I mentioned earlier, and he says, I have to go see the man. I said, what man? The man that gave me the money to come to America. I said, Dad, that was 1914. He started arguing. I said, okay. I just jumped in the cab with him, and we start driving, and we're going by these flowers, and the driver says to my dad, gee, aren't those flowers beautiful? You know what he said? You should see the flowers in America.
You should see the flowers in America.
If I had a cell phone back then, I would have called my brother and sister.
Right there.
You know what he just said?
You know.
So those experiences were very, very helpful to me.
Yeah. John, I'm not sure if you are too familiar with the history of our broadcast, Grecian Echoes, but we are the longest-running Greek-American radio program in the United States. We'll be celebrating in 2022. Our 75th year of broadcasting. Myself, 2022 will bring the 40th year. The program was started, my dad took it over. I took over after my dad retired. And I've got to tell you, because I've been doing this for 40 years now, and I'm going to say that the last 10 years, and I'm pretty much entrenched in this on a daily basis, we broadcast 7 days a week. I see Hellenism a lot better in the United States now than I did 10 years ago. I do see momentum. We're very active here in Boston with camps and church and our Hellenic College. So if you're a Greek in Boston, you've got a lot. sure as well as in Chicago. There's a lot of, you know, Greek going on in the city of Chicago, if you're a Greek American. What do you know about the other parts of the country? Are you seeing a decline, or are you seeing things, you know, the glass filling up?
I think what we're seeing from the museum, because we do try and be more national, it's not just about Chicago, that the real how do we get the next generation much more involved in their heritage and teaching them? So we're seeing that decline, and we want to improve upon that. That to me is very important. I think the National Hellenic Society is doing a good job in doing that. You know, I've been a member of that for many years, and we're fearful that you know, we need to really helpfully get the next generation to be involved and understand their heritage, which, as I mentioned earlier, I think is really important going forward.
Mm-hmm. Your involvement in the Leadership 100, if you can explain to those, you know, Leadership 100, I know, you know, what it's about, and I know many of its members around here, but a very powerful organization put together several years ago, lots of Boston representatives in that. As well, the importance of that, because they support so many of the events of our church, and let's face it, it is the church that, you know, ultimately unites us all.
Yeah, the Leadership 100, I am involved in that, as well as we just opened up. I'm a member of Friends of St. Nicholas, the shrine where the patriarch just came. I was in New York for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that those things are very important to really, you know, unite the community and have them focus on these issues that we've been talking about here, Ted. So, and the, you know, I was just in Washington, D.C. For the Oki Day, which I thought, you know, especially today on Veterans Day, the Oki Day was very instrumental. That history is so important. So, you know, teaching the next generation those things that, as you're doing with your show, is just really important, really great.
Yeah. Listen, I can't thank you enough. I could continue this conversation for much longer. I asked you for 20 minutes. You've given me a half an hour. I know you've got some other appointments, and it'll be the 11th hour of the 11th day in Chicago very shortly.
You're right.
Yeah. John Kalamos, any closing comments for our Grecian Echoes audience?
Just, Ted, you're doing a terrific job. I'm learning what you're doing there. Really appreciate it very much. Love to have you talk more to some of the people at the National Hellenic Museum. So we'll support that, and really appreciate having this conversation with you. Thank you so much.
You as well, especially on this day. You know, as I look at your resume, and we're all very proud of you, Greeks are proud of Greeks. And when we see someone succeed and give back, it gives us no greater joy than, as we say, to shout from the rooftops. And I think that you, you know, you resonate a very, very positive message. Stay safe. Stay well. Looking forward to a future conversation with you. Keep in the loop. We'd love to have Chicago have some type of presence in our program. With the internet, John, we're slowly spreading our signal, you know, coast to coast, continent to continent, in this English format. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your service. Stay well, stay safe. Na se pata kala. En megalo ευχαριστώ.
Thank you so much, Seth.
Thank you very much. John Kalamos, founder, chairman, global chief investment officer, and again, retired United States Air Force Major. You are tuned to Grecian Echoes.